Hi, everybody. Welcome to Business Beat here at WICN. I'm Ian Barrett. This is Aaron Hayes and David Ginsburg.
Hello.
David, we have brought a special guest who knows a lot about business and is bringing the next generation.
An expert, if you will.
An expert, yes.
Angela, could you introduce yourself and tell everybody what you do?
So I'm Angela Randolph, and I'm a professor at Babson College. I teach entrepreneurship, and my research is on entrepreneurial cognition and entrepreneurial process.
What is entrepreneurial cognition?
Can I get a notebook?
That's a professor.
Seriously, I need to go audit this class.
Well, I don't teach entrepreneurship. Well, it's incorporated into entrepreneurship. But entrepreneurial cognition is really taking a lot of what we know about cognition and applying it to entrepreneurs to help understand how entrepreneurs think.
Okay.
And by understanding how they think, we can get a better idea of why they behave the way they do.
Interesting. And how is that rolling now that we live in a gig economy where more and more people are setting out on their own, and the traditional model of you work for one company for your entire life is really melted away unless you own your own business? So how is that impacting the students you see coming through now?
So what's interesting is I don't know if they're thinking about it very early on, right? Okay. I think most people still think that they're going to get a job in a traditional field. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when people become entrepreneurs, typically they become entrepreneurs later in life, after working a little bit. We are seeing, where I am, students come because there is entrepreneurship there, right? So we do see a lot of people starting ventures earlier and earlier. Yep. What's surprising is there's always a few students that started a venture in high school.
Wow.
Right, and by the time they've gotten to college, they've tried it a couple times. And then, of course, there's students that have never thought about it. The way that they think about entrepreneurship itself hasn't changed.
Okay.
And I don't know if the plan is ever to become part of the gig economy.
Okay, interesting.
So you're weeding them out. The people that are going to your school are saying, I don't want to do that. I want to do something else. Is that part of the process?
So, no. So everyone that comes to Babson has to take entrepreneurship. So we teach a class called Foundations of Management and Entrepreneurship. And it's because entrepreneurship's not just for people who plan to be an entrepreneur. So when I think of entrepreneurship, I think, and this is a cognition slant, I think about it in terms of decision making under uncertainty.
Okay.
Right? So if you think about it, the world is ambiguous.
Yep.
And you have to make decisions as everything is changing. And if you think about the K through 12 system, it's not really about teaching them to make decisions under uncertainty. It's about how do I do this to get this result?
Right.
So it's very linear.
Yep.
And the problem is the world's not linear.
Yes, as we've discovered.
Yes. the older you get, the more nonlinear it appears.
Yes, so it's not flat.
It is not.
David.
It's not David.
The earth is
it's
round.
It's not David.
Well, that's but, just, so good, so, yeah.
I was going to say, so, I mean, it sounds like there are different realities for their futures. I mean, and that's the uncertainty. Is that something that you find you cover a little bit in the entrepreneurial classes?
So we actually teach it from how do you solve a problem.
Okay.
Right? And part of it is to identify the problem and to identify a problem that's not always from your perspective. Mm. And so with most people, and especially young people, they tend to think about it in terms of what problems do I have? And the key is to get them to think about what problems exist in the world.
Yep.
And what problems can they solve? And so it's really a process. So it's not this, I have this great idea and I'm going to make it happen, but how do I get information every step of the way? So that when we teach entrepreneurship, it's an iterative process, right? So what is it that I'm trying to solve? What information do I need? Who do I need to go to get that information? What resources do I need? What information? And using that, I make the next decision.
Got it.
I think that's actually an excellent class that a lot of CEOs should take, because I see a lot of companies making corrections about things that aren't problems, or making corrections that create problems, because they're actually not looking at why people are using the product, how people are using the product, or what they're using the product for, right? I think a lot of people can become disconnected from their own success, especially when you're an entrepreneur, because they always say, there's one person who starts the company, and then that person has to go away, and then somebody else has to run it, because these two skills a lot of times aren't the same thing. So is that part of the challenge there? Or do you get people coming back saying, I want to take a class, you know, I'm 50 years old, I'm running a company, I don't know anything. What's it like out there?
So what's interesting, so we actually teach that there's two types of logics. There's creation logic, right? Right, which is how do you come up with an idea? What do you do? How do you take that iterative approach? And then there is there's analytical logic,
right?
How do I analyze the information that's available? So people do come back. And this is something that we've, at least at Babson, and I'm sure a lot of other colleges, have started to think about learning differently, right? We tend to think about education in terms of undergraduate education and then graduate education, where you can come back. And of course, there's executive education. But a lot of people want lifelong learning. You learn things. I know I learned tons of things at 18 that I don't remember.
Yeah.
That's more relevant now.
It's the old saying, you know everything at 18, and at 40, you don't know anything.
Right.
I learned to hop a chain link fence.
That's pretty good. He has a degree in that.
I don't see myself applying a lot of that nowadays.
I don't know, or else you'll pull a muscle in the process.
But that goes back to the linear thinking that people think exists, but doesn't. I mean, you do continue learning. So, what you've learned in undergraduate, you can go back and learn again.
And contextually, it's different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? So what's interesting and what we try to get students to understand is what you see is open to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if we all walk into a room based on our motivation, based on the context, based on our height, what color the room is, on all of these things, our backgrounds, our cultures, what we interpret from the same information is all going to be different. And we ourselves are going to interpret that information differently. And so we walk through this fun example where, okay, let's pretend you're looking for a house to rent or to buy. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you've noticed? And, what do you think they notice, right?
Is there a pool?
Right, is there a pool? What's the neighborhood like?
Right.
All
Kitchen's
of the things.
Too small, yeah.
Right. And then I say, okay, well, change your mindset. What if you're casing the joint, right?
It's also a form of entrepreneurship.
I would say very parallel. I think the difference between an entrepreneur and a criminal is that one person doesn't care what the law says. Yeah. So, but then I think a lot of entrepreneurs.
Criminals don't pay taxes, yeah.
To that point, a lot of entrepreneurs actually end up in jail because the rules don't apply to them. That's got to be one of the factors there, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And actually, so I've been doing a little bit of research on adolescent rule breaking.
Yeah.
Right? So there's been more and more research out there from both economists and psychologists and entrepreneurship scholars that look at, okay, does rule breaking matter, right? If you think about it, we think there's a certain type of entrepreneur, but there's not. But there is something that says rule breaking does influence who becomes an entrepreneur. You practice creativity.
Well, practice creativity, but on a really, in an important sense, breaking the rules is how we get better. The rules were put in place by people who are very successful at what they do, and they like it to be the same way in 12 months and then 12 years as it is today because they built their businesses around that. And we hear about disruption all the time. Disruption is the only way the next generation is going to get out and get ahead of it, because if you look at the old, and I say this all the time, how did iTunes destroy the record industry? Well, they destroyed the record industry by changing the distribution process. And then how did Netflix destroy the movie industry?
Right. Because how did Uber destroy the taxi industry?
Right, exactly, because they took it directly to the consumer. All these other businesses were built on a distribution chain and a delivery system that they had invested in over time. And then they create laws and rules and mores around, this is the right way to do it. Don't pirate movies. I'm like, well, don't make them easy to pirate. I mean, right. Like one thing, like it. Anyway, I'm not advocating for taking it. I'm not advocating for taking anything, but when you ask for someone to be kind to you when you're making billions of dollars, the message is lost on a 21-year-old who is, eating macaroni and cheese in their apartment, right? It's not, it just doesn't work. So this is the era they grew up in. How do you incorporate that into what you teach?
So some of this it becomes assumptions. If you think about cultures and norms, the things that, even the unspoken rules, right? And it's always interesting to find out what they consider unspoken rules, because I don't even think they believe it or know it's there.
Right.
So all of these things that you mentioned, there's rules, but there's also things that we just do as normal, even though there aren't any rules.
Right.
And they base our assumptions.
Right.
So part of it is to get them to question their assumptions.
Going back to your house thing, like what information you actually gathering about what you're about to do, right? I've got a kid, I want to put him in school. What sets Babson apart from all the other schools that are out there? How did you develop this persona for the school?
So Babson is known for entrepreneurial leadership, right? And so this is the idea that it is, how do you take the mindset of an entrepreneur, and develop it into an education system. Because people think that entrepreneurship is just about becoming an entrepreneur, but it's not. It's about how do you understand the problem, how do you solve the problem, how do you make decisions under uncertainty. And because the focus is on that, in addition to the leadership, which includes ethical decision making, right, just so that we don't produce a lot of lawbreakers, right? And what becomes important. So the other piece of this is when we think entrepreneurship or we think leadership, we tend to think of this in terms of economic measurements, right? Right. What's the profit? What's the revenue? But it's also thinking about it in terms of what else is important, right? Right. Sustainable, how do you sustain the environment? What impact do you have on society? How do you measure those?
You know, I'm curious, you raise an interesting point in that I think people conflate incorrectly entrepreneurship with leadership. Just because you're an entrepreneur doesn't make you a leader. And this is what we've seen a zillion examples in the business world. You know, we talk about Uber, you know, an amazing company, what they built. Travis Kalanick, a great entrepreneur in building a company as a leader, was
complete
a colossal
jerk,
failure.
Total
right.
Jerk.
WeWork, we've
right.
just seen, you know, at one point was a $20 billion Wall Street valuation that fell through the floor when all of a sudden they pulled the curtain back a little bit and you realize that this is a lot of smoke and mirrors. It's not leadership to say we can throw a great, I'm going to DJ my own party, I'm the CEO. Leadership is, to me, is setting an example for your employees and for the world around you, and that this is, we're going to do things the right way because of the most ethical way, and not, it's separate from the business part of it itself. How does that factor in when you're teaching a class, especially with young, impressionable minds that have grown up and is almost like entrepreneur porn, in a sense, you know, the Kalanicks, the Steve Jobs, the Bill Gates, on and on. How do you sort of meld the two so that being an entrepreneur, leadership is a part of being an entrepreneur and not independent of itself?
You know, it's interesting because I haven't thought about that because it's so ingrained
yeah.
into the culture. So when you teach a class, you end up just from the very nature of what we do. And we use a lot of experimental methods of teaching, which yeah. means they actually do something and then you discuss it.
Okay.
And ultimately something comes up. And so in my class, I tend to see in some of these exercises, we see a lot of cheating, right? And it's interesting in, from an...
Is it cheating or is it pushing the boundaries of rules?
Yeah.
Well, so this... And that's, so by the way...
Here,
so within entrepreneurship, a lot of times, when anytime you have new innovation, you're going into a place where there are no rules yet,
right?
Right? So even if there's not a law against it, how do you determine if it's right or wrong?
Right.
So the ethical decision making becomes really important. But what you, so we actually talk about it because there's a game where they have to figure out how to complete a task.
Yep.
And I give three rules. So what's interesting is one, they want to make up rules to add to it,
yep.
by the way. They always make up extra rules. And they'll ask me and I'll say, we can add that as a rule. And they said, that's not against the rule. And I said, no, why are you adding rules and making this harder? We can add constraints if you want to.
Right.
So there's that, and then...
That's right.
This is called regulatory
yeah.
compliance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then two, well, let's talk about what's, you know, whether or not that was breaking the rules. So even if it didn't break the rules I set, was it fair or unfair and what made it so?
Right.
So we're just gonna take a moment to get into some of the detail about the studio that we're in, Studio 50 at WICN. This is what you can find for content on the website, so I'm just gonna read this out to you and talk a little bit about why it's so important. Studio 50 is located at WICN Public Radio at 50 Portland Street in Worcester, in the heart of the artistically emerging Grid and Theater District, and is now open for business. Full digital recording studio with Avid C24 mixing board and Pro Tools, 24-hour access, acoustic grand piano, and state-of-the-art acoustically engineered live room that can be used for performance or recording. This exciting location resides inside WICN Public Radio, taking you from conception to broadcast possibilities. Producers, engineers, coaches are all on staff. Recording training is available. Take your next project to Studio 50 and be inspired. If you're thinking about podcasting and you're thinking about creating content and you're thinking about recording music, give them a call here at WICN and let them know. All right, well, now back to our interview.
I care about ethics because sustainability of my investment is important. Yeah. And what I see with a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of kids nowadays is that, you know, they admire Jason, they admire Elon, they admire, you know, Zuckerberg. And quite frankly, there's not a single one of those guys that I think is ethical. I think they're all right out there.
Terrible.
They're sociopaths. And being a sociopath means that they're not going to concern themselves with these rules. What keeps them in line is the board of directors, and what keeps them in line is the investors. And all the corrections that have happened in these companies have come from the outside of the company. So this, I think this is really critical. Yeah. If I'm going to drop $500 million of valuation on somebody, I need to know somebody's going to not tweet something that's going to put me in court and take my stock into the gutter. for 3 weeks, right? I need to find a guy whose ego isn't about launching cars into outer space. It's about making things that work for 4 years because they don't.
Or allowing massive disinformation campaigns in on your 2 billion user platform that's going to sway elections in various countries.
Seems like it's really specific. What are you talking about?
Just a random example.
He's talking about MySpace. I think that's fair. And look where they are now.
You know, I had the best wallpaper ever on my MySpace, and you ruined it.
You were in my top nine. So, I think it actually has to. It comes back to money. I think it really does come back to money. If you look at the billions of dollars that have been lost through really poorly calculated behavior, I would have liked to have had somebody who didn't do those things and thought a little bit more about that. What's the role playing around that, or how does that factor in?
Who plays Mark Zuckerberg? That's what we want to know.
You know, we don't actually set those roles up. Yeah. What we do try to do is have them think about what impact does power have? What impact does things like resources have? So I teach my class with someone who's from the organizational behavior side, and for one of the things they set up is looking at power and influence. Mm-hmm. Right? And how does that affect your judgment, and how is that behavior interpreted? Yeah, right. And they get upset. So we let them feel what it feels like to be on the other end.
Oh, cool.
And then that way, at least they have a point of reference for when they make decisions.
Right. Well, I was gonna ask about the organizational part of it, because I'm a little bit familiar with your class, and I see how each business gets set up. So do the professors play a role in picking who will be the CEO, or is that sort of decided among the group?
So the class that I teach is FME, is Foundations of Management and Entrepreneurship, and all first year students at Babson are required to take it.
Okay.
And this is one of the things that does set Babson apart from almost every other school. So other schools may have this program in some form at different years. We actually have it as a first year program before they've actually taken any business classes with us, because it provides them a foundation of how to think about business. And when they learn new information, I think I like to call them, we provide them with little hooks, right, of how to organize information going forward. So with this class, they get everything. It's a combination of entrepreneurship and management, which is organizational behavior. And we teach them a little bit of marketing, a little bit of accounting. It's just an introductory class. Okay, a lot of marketing, a little bit of operations, problem solving. We throw project management in, anything that's going to help them run a business. And what they have to do is they have to find a business idea, find a problem to solve, and then they have to figure out how to start their business. So a class of roughly 40 students have to form teams to actually run a business for the course of the school year. And the process itself is interesting, because they have to come up with an idea, they pitch it to their teammates, they have to vote on the ideas that go forward, they have to vote on which teams they want to be on, and eventually we get them down to three teams. They have to put in a launch plan where they've thought about how they're going to run the business, where they're going to source, who they're going to sell to, and then we fund them.
Okay.
And the money, they run the business, they make a profit most of the time, and the profit gets donated to a nonprofit at the end. So the students don't keep the money. They pay back the school first, and then the remaining gets donated. And so they select themselves, and they actually select their CEOs themselves. They don't get to pick who's on their teams per se, because you select which team you want to work for. And most students pick a product, but sometimes they pick the team dynamic.
Right.
What is the biggest change, or what's the biggest dynamic that you've seen, move from one side to the other in the time you've been teaching with this next generation? Because I'm curious. I grew up with a lemonade stand. I grew up painting people's house numbers on the sidewalk to make money. I grew up cutting lawns. You're not going to let a kid walk around the neighborhood with a lawnmower and cut people's lawns anymore. It's dangerous. It's like a lot of the things that we used to do to show our entrepreneurship no longer exist.
Yeah, going door to door to sell cookies and candy and stuff.
Right, right. Yeah, that's not a thing anymore. So how has it changed in your eyes, or for what you're seeing for your kids?
What's interesting is, of course, they're the product of what's going on around them.
Right.
So I see a lot of subscription boxes.
Yeah.
Right. I see, which is better, because if I remember when it was my time, everybody wanted to run a bar.
Yeah, right.
Right? Everybody wants to run a bar.
Your time. Miller time here all day.
Stilling his dream.
Right, but when I was in college, that's the type of business most people would say, right? So now I see a lot of subscription boxes. There is a lot of emphasis on teaching entrepreneurship to other groups of people, right? So there is a lot of social ventures. It's fascinating the number of students I meet that say, I want to take what I've learned here and teach other people who may not have access to this education. So we're seeing a lot more of that, so much so that there's discussions about whether to start a club or some type of subgroup to cater to this group of students, right?
Do you think this group, because it alludes to something important in the sense of sort of woke culture in college campuses, but as government has sort of abdicated a lot of leadership on sort of crucial issues affecting the country and the world, climate change being a big example of that, we're seeing a lot of leaders, and especially in the tech space, stepping out in the forefront to say, we're still going to be carbon neutral by this date, or change our packaging so that we're having less of an environmental impact, and they're kind of filling the void that government used to fill when it was functioning. So for the kids that are coming through and you're taking your course, and it's an introductory course, and they're coming in already much more aware of the world around them and wanting to do something good in the world, much more so than we may have been aware in our generation, how does that impact your relationship with the students in the class itself and the discussions that happen there?
So this is interesting because there is a divide. You have some students who care a lot,
yeah,
right, and they want to hear more about it. And you have some students that say, this is not related to business, so why are we talking about it?
Yeah.
Oh. I've had that feedback.
So, well, I mean, it's a legitimate feeling, right?
Yeah. Right. And I mean, right. So
that's the context of the larger world, is you're still a part of a larger environment.
Right. And everyone, so Babson has a very diverse population, which makes it a wonderful place to be,
yeah,
right? They have students from all over the world and all over the U.S., which means you have a huge difference in opinions of how things should be done.
Yeah.
So we incorporate it because we consider it something that is a foundational part of business. So the impact you have to consider, and we actually require them to report out, what is the impact that you have on the environment? How do you measure that?
Yeah.
And what is the impact you have on society? I mean, we also talk a lot about the UN sustainability goals. Mm-hmm. How does your business tie into those?
That's amazing. That's a lot more than I would have been thinking about.
Well, because if you're never asked,
right,
why would you think about it?
And it's always the first mover. So when Amazon says we're going to be carbon neutral by 2050, or carbon negative even, then smaller companies start going, yeah, because then it becomes a marketing piece, like, oh, us too, and we're going to take this green piece, even though we don't really believe in it or want to devote the resources to it. But apparently it's working, and sort of by default, they get dragged into the future.
And not just that, I think people used to think of it in terms of what is my corporate responsibility, right? What's my corporate social responsibility? And it was an add-on.
Mm-hmm.
Now more and more companies and people are thinking about it in terms of, how can I do this while making a profit?
Right.
How can I use this to actually become more efficient?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, this is being more environment. It used to be that to be more environmentally friendly, it would cost you more.
Right.
Well, if you're a startup, maybe not.
Yeah.
And actually, maybe it will cost you less.
Yeah, that's true.
I have a question, mm-hmm, teacher, professor. I like to be polite when I'm in. How do you deal with social media in business? Is that one of the things you talk about? Because part of it is getting your business started through social media, but also you can destroy business overnight with social media.
One tweet.
But one tweet.
You're still feeling that?
So we're going to be tweeting about your answer after this. Tell me how that works.
So social media comes up a lot.
Yeah.
My concerns with especially the students have been more on, okay, you keep telling me about your followers, how does that convert to sales? But again, that's usually the first thought that comes to mind. But the other one is how are you presenting yourself, right? And how are you presenting your company? And we always talk about how you can't get rid of anything that's out there on social media.
Right.
And so they have some interesting ideas. I mean, we constrain them a little bit with the ventures they do for the class, because I have a PG-13 rule.
Yeah.
And we've, as the faculty, agreed that's probably the right level, because we want them to think about, as you think about your business and your social media and everything that you do, you can create a portfolio that you want to show someone else. So think about, how much do you want other people to consider what you have out there?
Right,
that's fair.
The world is so wide, and as we said, I mean, it should be a place for your branding to live. I love what you just said about portfolio, because that's exactly what it is. If you do social media correctly, you could take it and show it, and everyone would know exactly who you are, what you're selling, and what you're about. And hopefully there wouldn't be an errant tweet in there.
Well, we do. I mean, that's a big part of what we do for our business. If I was going to talk about entrepreneurship, if you don't have your social media plan intact right when you start, if you don't Google search your stuff right from the start, if you don't clear these things before you begin, it's over, man. It's absolutely over.
And understanding that, because I have a lot of experience in this realm, Your social media channels are also your primary customer service channels by default. And if someone is tweeting critically at you, or even positively too, you need to respond immediately. For students, they have to understand, like, that's part of marketing, is responding in real time. People demand an answer. And I have clients that they get a private message, and an hour later, the person's, I haven't received an answer yet. Like, I know, it's, this isn't all we're doing. But yeah, they expect an immediate response to that. And that is part. And if you don't, and that stuff builds up, that can have a critically damaging impact on your business.
Right. The other thing that I find interesting is most companies, I would say most people, don't know how to start branding on social media.
Right.
Right? How do you start? How do you develop followers? How do you? So that's an ongoing process.
How do you be social in the social part of it too?
Yes.
We're getting close to the end here, but I wanted to make sure that I addressed the points that you wanted to make. Is there anything we haven't discussed about what you do, or that you think of any points that we're missing around this? I'm excited personally that there's another generation coming out, and you know that they're going to hopefully change the world while they make a profit. And I think that's the biggest difference, because the generation before was about make the dough. It's not Wall Street anymore. It's bad. I mean, people who are just profit driven get taken down. And when people find out that that's your total goal, it does hurt your bottom line. So I appreciate that there's so much thought in it. What else should we know about what you're doing?
So what I do appreciate is there's a lot of just community partners that come and speak, like the two of you. They're so excited about when you come. They don't even know it yet. They just keep hearing about it.
Full disclosure, we were the Bobs. We were invited
on our entrepreneur. Yes.
So the Bobs walked in unannounced to the class one day and like, who are these two people? And we went through their programs with them, and it was impactful.
It was a bit of a good cop, bad cop, and Ian was definitely he left them crying.
They didn't cry exactly. Just like I said, I haven't made anyone cry in years, and they said in the classroom. I would say the thing that as people come in and they get all of these experiences, right? So one of the things that I'm working on with another faculty member at Babson, Gina O'Connor, is we're working on a commercialization class, right? In this class, they're going to go in and work with innovation partners. So companies that are trying to commercialize a new technology, because that's also something that's difficult to do. And the best way to educate this young group is to make it experiential for them, right? Finding ways to form partnerships with organizations so that students can see how to interact, right? And so for me, it's been a focus on startups, but there's innovation and entrepreneurship within organizations too.
Right.
And to be thoughtful about how we do that.
That's amazing. How can people get in touch with you? Or if there's a business that wants to interface with your entrepreneur program, how would they get in contact with you?
There's multiple touch points on how to get in contact with me. They can get in contact with me. And I am listed on Babson's website as faculty. My email address is arandolph@babson.edu. Of course, the marketing department, we have corporate partnerships. There's a lot of information on the websites. I will be happy to send that information to you so that they can find out how to get in contact. I do want to say one more thing. I was going to say for women, because women seem to be the other place that within business there's a shortage of women. And so Babson has a Center for Women Entrepreneurial Leaders.
Oh, wow.
And they actually have a center. And so I do want to highlight that that's a great way to get in contact, especially for women. And then for sustainability, the Lewis Institutes. Is someone who comes to mind.
So if you're a woman entrepreneur, business owner.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks for coming.
You're
awesome. Thank you for doing this. I really appreciate that. And join us next time on Business Beat. We'll maybe have a follow-up to our visit. We're going to visit with the school again this year, and maybe we'll talk. We'll maybe have you back on and talk about that.
Oh, that would be awesome.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for watching.
Thank you.
Thank you.